Hello, everyone, and welcome to Hot Mic with Houston and Hogan.
And this is Dave, and that's Randy sitting right over there. Randy, as we sit here and record this podcast, we're wrapping up a year and starting. What was it Willie said about when you get to luck? He named that town he built out there.
He built that old western town, named it Luck, Texas. And he says, when you're here, you're in luck, and when you're not here, you're out of luck.
Well, I hope 2023 has brought you a lot of luck.
Yeah.
And as we go into 2024, I hope you're not out of luck.
There you go. You understand, Willie, yeah.
How about that, Brenda Lee?
Brenda Lee?
How about Brenda Lee?
Getting voted the number one Christmas song?
No, it wasn't voted. It was the Billboard magazine, the sales, downloads, and ever how people purchase music. She was the number one seller this Christmas with a song she recorded in 1958. Rocking Around the Christmas Tree.
What
I played that?
That
was, you know, that was like the start of my career when that came out. I was just getting into broadcasting and played Rocking Around the Christmas Tree. And gosh, I'd have to figure up that was, what, 60 plus years ago.
And I played it. I just finished up the Christmas season, and I played the heck out of that. I even played it more this Christmas season because the people spoke. You know, that's something we want to play a lot of.
So Brenda Lee reached about three generations of people.
She's
have enjoyed that song.
And we're going to do a show, or maybe a couple of shows, on Willie Nelson coming up in the next couple of weeks. So you stay tuned for that. But I just watched a four-part documentary about Willie, and Brenda Lee is featured a whole lot. She's interviewed a whole lot in this documentary series about Willie's music. And she's still doing great. Brenda Lee, man, I'm telling you, she's a good one of her songs is one of my all time favorite songs, called Johnny One Time.
I remember Johnny One Time. I sure did.
It's a great song.
Yeah.
It's a great song.
And Brenda Lee has the type of voice that she probably could sing Rocking Around the Christmas Tree today. At her age, which would be in the 70s somewhere, I think.
Yeah.
She could sing it today, and it would sound just like it did when she recorded it in 1958.
Little Miss Brenda Lee, we used to call her.
Do you make New Year's resolutions since we're entering a new year?
Well, yes. I don't always make them public, but I do make some resolutions.
I saw a story, heard a story about Blake Shelton, a country music artist of great success. And Blake says going into the new year, he finds himself battling his addiction to alcohol.
Really?
And that he's made a resolution to back off from the use of alcohol in the coming new year. I don't know if that influenced his leaving The Voice. You know, he was one of the stars of that show, and he left the show recently. But we wish him luck. So many artists in the country music field, as well as other genres of music, have battled alcoholism or drug use.
Addictions.
You know, but there are a lot of people who haven't. We need to make that point. You know, some people get the impression that everybody who sings country music's a drunk. And I've known, you know, people like way back Sonny James and Brad Paisley today, people who are in the business and don't drink at all. They're teetotalers. So there's a host of those people, but there are some big stars that have battled alcohol. Let's go back to 1955 and Ernest Tubb.
Okay.
Ernest Tubb, the Texas troubadour, one of the most popular artists of the 50s, actually part of the 40s when Walking the Floor came out. I'm Walking the Floor Over You. A tremendous hit, big jukebox song. And Ernest, a lot of people didn't like Ernest Tubbs singing, and they would say, "Why, he can't sing." And so Ernest played on that comment that he heard somebody make, and he says, I know I don't sing very well, but, you know, in these honky-tonks, he said, boy would say to his girlfriend, when my record comes on, I can sing better than that. And Ernest said, you know, he'd be telling the truth probably. But he was great, had great musicians around him all the time, had one of the great bands ever put together in country music. And some of his members have went on to become recording artists in their own right.
Okay.
People like Jack Green.
Okay.
He was a member of the Texas Troubadours for a long time. And Cal Smith.
I didn't know that.
He was a Texas Troubadour. But back to this 1955 story that I've got to tell when we talk about people with drinking problems. Ernest had a real drinking problem back in the 50s. He was able to conquer it later on. And in fact, I talked to his wife, Mrs. Tubb, about that. She was very upfront and honest about Ernest and the problems that he had drinking back in the 1950s. Jim Denny was one of the titans of country music. He was the manager of the Grand Ole Opry. Jim Denny also ran the bureau, the artist bureau at WSM. Back in those days, in the 40s and 50s, if you were a promoter and wanted to book somebody who was a member of the Grand Ole Opry, you had to go through Jim Denny to book them.
Okay.
It was in their contract. If they were on the Opry, they had the rights to your touring, because they felt like most of the people on the Grand Ole Opry, when they got to go out on the road, it was because people heard them on the Opry. But anyway, Ernest Tubb had a big falling out of some sort with Jim Denny. And he was drinking one night. Actually, it was early in the morning. I guess he'd been drinking all night. Ernest Tubb went into the WSM building in Nashville, the National Life and Accident Building, where the Grand Ole Opry offices were, with a pistol in him. He was going to kill Jim Denny.
Uh-oh.
He was, of course, inebriated. So he walked in to the WSM studios, downtown Nashville. And a man came out of the office and Ernest shot. Boom! But he missed him. And it was not Jim Denny. It was Bill Williams, who was the morning news anchor on WSM. Now, you know, the interesting thing about that story, there was hardly any publicity about it. There was a little short story in the Nashville, Tennessean newspaper that Ernest Tubb had been arrested for public drunkenness. That's all there was. There's no story about Ernest Tubb trying to kill Jim Denny. Now, imagine today if one of the big stars of country music, Blake Shelton, Tim McGraw, if they did something like that, what a story that would be. It would be number one on CNN, MSNBC, Fox. It would be a tremendous story. But in 1955, Ernest Tubb tried to kill Jim Denny and almost killed Bill Williams, and nobody paid much attention to it.
Man, and social media this day and time, you know, you're also reminding me, I think it was Mark Twain that had the quote, "There's no better feeling than to be shot at
and missed. Nothing more exhilarating than to be shot at and missed. And if you don't know who said something, just attribute it to Mark Twain.
Or Yogi Bear.
There have been other country music stars who have battled alcoholism. Tim McGraw is one of them. Faith Hill intervened, and of course they became married. They got married, and Tim McGraw has been sober since 2008. He knew he had an alcohol problem when he started taking shots first thing in the morning. Get up in the morning, have to have a shot.
Mm.
And he, one morning he thought, I've got a real problem. So he credits Faith Hill with helping him get through his addiction and get sober. You know, one of the singers that I really like, but he's never had that one song that would make him a big star, but he's got a great voice, Joe Nichols. Do you know Joe Nichols' music?
Down in Broken Heartsville and Tequila Makes Her Clothes Fall Off. And
yeah. He became addicted. He became an addict at age 13.
Wow.
Finally went to rehab in 2007 and has enjoyed long-term sobriety. He got into an incident of some sort out in Steamboat Springs, Colorado, pulled a gun on a man, and he knew then that, oh, I got to do something about this. He went into rehab in 2007 and has had long-term sobriety. Gary Stewart. Remember Gary?
Drinking. Yeah, he had a song about.
He did. He
it's had a drinking had a thing or something.
Drinking Thing was the name of it, I believe. But
yeah.
Gary Stewart battled alcohol.
Didn't realize that.
Unsuccessfully, unfortunately. So did Keith Whitley.
Yeah.
Keith Whitley battled alcohol and drugs. And sometimes we don't think of alcohol being a drug, but it is.
Yes.
We say alcohol has become so well-known, so common in our society, and that's the way it's been for hundreds of years. So we kind of separate the word alcohol from drugs, but alcohol is a drug. Keith Whitley, one of the most talented country music stars ever from up in eastern Kentucky, was not unable to battle the demons or defeat the demons that he battled.
Started out as one of the Clinch Mountain boys, Ralph Stanley, didn't he?
Yeah, he was like Ricky Skaggs. They started when they were just
children.
Kids.
Yeah, just children.
Joe DeMessina. Remember Joe DeMessina?
Oh, yeah.
Of course, she's still around. She had a problem with alcohol. Had some embarrassing incidents where she couldn't get through a show on stage because she was so inebriated. But she went out to Utah and rented a cabin. This is back in 2004. Rented a cabin out in Utah, out in the
off the grid.
Off the grid, so to speak, and got sober and is sober today. Now, here's another star everybody knows who battled alcohol addiction and drug addiction to a great degree and was able to defeat the problem. Keith Urban.
Oh, boy, you just named an artist. That guy is so talented. I didn't realize he had an internal battle.
Alcohol addiction is in Keith's family. But he went to rehab in 1998, but had a relapse, was sober for a couple of years, had a relapse in 2006. And there was a certain person that staged an intervention. They call it an intervention when you get some of your friends together and say, look, you've got to do something about this. She staged this intervention in 2006, and Keith Urban has been sober ever since then, and that actress was Nicole Kidman.
Yeah, the mother of his children.
And she was the star of Cold Mountain.
Oh, yeah,
the movie Cold Mountain. And, of course, we all know, and we don't need to talk about it because most everybody would know about it, Hank Williams and his struggles with alcohol and drugs. Waylon Jennings and Johnny Cash.
Yeah.
I saw Waylon and Johnny several times together on the David Letterman show when it was on late night. And the openly talking about their struggles with not just alcohol, but cocaine and other drugs, and how they were able to, you know, the Good-Hearted Woman song, Willie wrote it, didn't he?
Right.
Good-Hearted Woman. And Waylon was one of his buddies, and he wrote that song about Waylon and Jesse Coulter.
Wow. She's a good-hearted woman.
So when you hear Good-Hearted Woman, it's about Jesse, about Waylon Jennings and his wife, Jesse Coulter.
She's a good-hearted woman loving a good-timing man.
That's right.
Yeah.
Tanya Tucker.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Tanya went to the Betty Ford Clinic in 1988. Tanya and Glenn Campbell.
Glenn Campbell, yeah.
They had a...
explosive relationship.
Had a front page on every newspaper, practically.
Yeah.
But Glenn Campbell was able to get sober, but Tanya Tucker is still struggling, from all indications, from what I hear. And we wish all these people who are struggling good fortune, because alcohol and drug addiction is, you know, one of the worst things in our society, in my opinion. Randy Travis.
Oh, gosh.
Randy was arrested and got into a fight, I believe, with a deputy sheriff.
Yeah.
And he struggled with alcohol and is sober today and has been for years. Trace Adkins. Trace went through two rehab programs before he was able to get sober. And far as I know, Trace is still sober today. And what a voice he has.
My word. Incredible artist. Started out in gospel music, singing that bass part.
Mm-hmm. You know? He's a good singer.
Yeah.
Love Trace Adkins music.
I do too.
I had the last few years of my radio career, starting in about 2000. I did talk show. I co-hosted a morning talk show with Carl Swan on WJCW, Johnson City, Tennessee. And one of the guests that I had occasionally on the program was a lady who was a counselor, alcohol counselor. She had been an alcoholic for many years before she was able to get sober. And at the time of the interviews that I did with her, she had been sober over 20 years, and she counseled. She worked with people struggling with alcoholism, and they had a department of a hospital over in Johnson City at that time, probably still there, where people could go for counseling and help with alcohol. But she said some interesting things. She said, you hardly ever find, she may not have put it in these words, but I hope I can get the point across. You seldom find one alcoholic in a family. There's either one or none. Usually, if there's one alcoholic in the family, there will be a good many who have the problem. And usually, if you find a family of no drinkers, and fortunately, in my family, I don't know, tracing our family tree back as far as I can, there was nobody who had a problem with alcohol. But I know families, have been close to families, who have numbers of people in their family who struggle with alcohol. And the point I'm trying to make is, it's been well established that there's a genetic connection involved.
Yeah,
and so I don't think we need to or should condemn someone who has an alcohol problem, but to try as best we can to help them.
Absolutely.
Encourage them, help them along. Life can be tough sometimes,
Well, and as we mentioned earlier, we're going to be doing a couple of shows about Willie Nelson and his incredible life. And one of the things that he talks about is, as a songwriter and as a member of the country music world, there comes a train of thought that these country artists and songwriters have to live the life that a country song portrays, and that is addiction and divorce and all of those bad, negative things. Mm-hmm. And
well, that's what country music is. It's about life, real life.
Yeah.
And as somebody said, I don't know who it was, who said, you don't have to be a drunk to write about it.
That sounds a lot like what Willie's talking about.
Yeah. You know, Willie gave up alcohol for marijuana, and he said if he had not done that, he'd be dead today.
Talked about that a lot in this series. Before we jump out of this story and this topic today, Dave, I want to say, and I want to do a shout out to a listener of ours here on Hot Mic with Houston and Hogan, and that is Brad Duncan. Brad also listens to my morning show on WHKP, where we play classic country every morning from 6 to 9 a.m., and Brad is the listener there, and he has been enjoying the fact that I've been playing a lot of Hank Williams Sr., and he particularly enjoyed our podcast prior to this one about Hank Williams, and that's no more germane than anything to what we're talking about today.
Explain quickly why we can't play music on podcast. I've had people ask me that.
Well,
we'll talk about a song, and why don't you play that song?
Yeah,
on your podcast.
Well, I'd love to. I really would, but it's a copyright thing. It's law. It's something we can't do.
Yeah, songs are copyrighted, and if you use a song on a podcast, you're violating that copyright.
Right, that's exactly.
And you could be sued.
Yep.
Now, there's a podcast that my daughter Gina listens to, and I can't remember what it is, where he does play music, and she asked me, how could he play music and you don't? It's because he has like 2 million listeners to his podcast, and he pays.
And he's paying.
He's paying, just like a radio station pays.
Right.
A lot of people don't know radio stations have to play the music.
A lot.
And I can't afford, until we get 2 million listeners, can't afford to play music.
I like you thinking. Gosh, thank you so much for joining us on Hot Mic with Houston and Hogan. And in the year 2024, Dave and I are committed more than ever to doing these podcasts and coming up with topics that we've found interesting in our years of broadcasting. And thank you so much for downloading them and listening and commenting on them. And Brad, we really appreciate you. We're going to take a break, and we'll come back and delve into the life and times of the great Willie Nelson here on Hot Mic
with Hogan and Houston.
You got it.
And Houston and Hogan.
Thank y'all.
Be sure to click the subscribe button for another episode of Hot Mic with Randy Houston and Dave Hogan.